Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bumbershoot, where we're covering life's chaos with humor and heart. This is Charity, and I'm here with Rhonda and Tracy. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
We first want to shout out Poggiogliano Wine. We will be having a toast of Poggiogliano Wine each week to get us started right. So thank you for the sponsorship. If you are just joining us, last week, we did our intro episode, and we did have a little bit of issues with our sound. I think we've got it dialed in this week. So sorry if you had to struggle through some of the skips and the hiccups, but it was really good for understanding what this is all about. So I would encourage you, if you can tolerate the feedback a little bit, to listen to the intro episode, because it gives you a very detailed understanding of what this is going to be all about. But we are ready to start with our first official episode. So this is going to start with my childhood. And to give you just a little bit background on the bigger picture here for Bumbershoot, it's I'm going to bring you through the journey of my life so you can get to know me personally inside and out, actually better than a lot of my closest friends were going to get to know me. And then it will explain a lot for how and why and how I started my nonprofit organization, and then just how I live my life day to day. But I'm hoping to give you guys perspective and a little encouragement along the way, because, you know, we judge books by their cover all the time, or maybe we judge people by their posts on Instagram or Facebook. And not to say that it's not all true, mine are all very true, but it doesn't mean I'm not posting all the hard times and all the things I've been through to get me to where I am today. So that's what we're just going to kind of give you guys a little insight and encourage you to maybe share your stories with others so that they can be encouraged and inspired as well. So we're going to start with where I was born. I was born back in Rhode Island, that tiniest little state in the United States. That's kind of a little fun fact, because there's not a lot of people born in Rhode Island. So I was one of the few, and I have very strong ties to my East Coast family and just the vibe out on the East Coast. I absolutely love the East Coast vibe, the accents, the food, the attitude, even all the Guido-ness, because I do come from an Italian family. So that's fun too. But yeah, it's kind of a different world when you live in California, and you go to the East Coast, you know, or even if you visit one place or the other, you see the big difference. Tracy, you're from New York, so you know, it's a culture shock from one end to the other when you've not been, or, you know, come for the first time. So it's a good culture shock in a lot of ways. Food's different, mm-hmm. Attitude's different. And weather is a big difference.
Huge difference.
But I do attribute a lot of who I am today by where I was born and kind of the humble beginnings that I was born into. So my grandparents, they were immigrants. I would say my grandma was 6 when she moved here. My grandfather, I believe, was in utero on the ship on his way out to Ohio. But my grandmother, she was imported. She immigrated to the East Coast. And we did find record that she came through Ellis Island with her family. A little fun fact is my great grandfather was in the war against Turkey in Italy, and he found a bunker that the Turks were hiding in. And they saw him as an Italian soldier, thinking he had an army behind him. They surrendered to him. So he brought them in, and he was awarded by the Italian military. He could either have land in Italy, or he could have immigration with his family to America. So he chose America, and they came through Ellis Island. And that's how my dad's side of the family, well, I should say my grandma's side of the family, ended up here. She was only 6 years old, so she spoke very elementary Italian. And as she grew up, they were trying to acclimate to English language and American culture. So Italian was very little spoken in the home, only between her parents. Did you have a question, Rhonda? I see a very inquisitive mind. Well, so Rhonda wants to know, I don't know why she's not asking in the microphone, but she's sending me a post-it note.
So does this mean that you're a patriot for charity?
Say that a little louder into the microphone. I'm very proud. Yes.
Does this mean that you're a patriot man?
Well, I don't know if my son's room being completely patriot is what gave you the clue, or me wearing my patriot sweatshirt today, being proud we finally won again yesterday. But yes, I am a patriot because I'm from the East Coast and actually from Rhode Island, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, it's all right there. So we're all proud. Well, not all, but we are very proud patriot fans. Yes, so that has stuck with me to this day. Yeah, so I grew up being a very loud Italian. I'll get back to that a little later. So there in Rhode Island, my grandparents had a farm, really beautiful big farm. My dad and my mom and I, well, I was born in Chepachet, Rhode Island, but at the time my parents lived in a trailer on the farm. So that was my first home, was a single wide trailer on the farm in Rhode Island. And I don't remember because I was just born there, but I do remember a lot of trips going back. So as I get older in our podcast, I'll take you through that. But let's see. So my parents met, my mom was a model, and my dad was a few years older than her, and he had two children. So Cammie and Nicole, one and two, were my dad's girls when he met mom. And mom was gracious, and even though he might have referred to her as the babysitter when he first brought her home to Rhode Island, because she was so much younger, she became mom too to the girls. So when I was born, those were my sisters, and still to this day, they're my sisters, even though we know biologically we're half mom is definitely their bonus mom, and we've just been raised as four of, well, I'll get to that, but yeah, when I was born, the three. So when we moved away from Rhode Island when I wasn't even one yet. We moved to Westminster, California. Yeah. Rhonda's saying the things you don't know.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah. We moved to Westminster and
You know that's where I was born?
No.
Yes, I was born in Westminster, California as
Oh
well.
my gosh. You see the
As
things you
well.
don't know about your friends. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was our first home in California. My dad's aunts and uncles had moved out from Rhode Island, and he wanted to get out to California. He was a surfer. He actually got arrested for surfing in the ocean on the East Coast because that was illegal. But yeah, so he had more interest in what California had to offer than the cold winters of back east. So yeah, he moved us out here, and I have pictures and videos of when I was little, and I haven't changed much. I'm still crazy silly. So there's a joke that when my mom was pregnant with me, this part's not a joke. She actually tripped and fell on her stomach when she was pregnant with me. But the joke part is that it might have made me a little bit crazy or kooky. I don't know. And then not only that, but then I used to do somersaults on the concrete sidewalks with no hands. So that's another, I don't know if that was a result of falling onto her stomach or if it's just another thing that has made me a little kooky. But those are just, we had so much fun, even though the means were little. My mom used to sew our clothes, but I think back then that was a thing anyway,
Yeah,
you know?
in the Dallas.
Yeah. So, but yeah, dad worked a lot of different jobs. He's the master, what do they say? The
Back of all
jack of all
trades.
trades and master of none. Well, he's, I don't want to say master of none, dad, sorry, but he's a master of all trades, we'll say. And then jack of none. I don't know. Does that work?
Lots that works.
But dad has been, I mean, you name it. He's been in the, he's been had his hands in so many different businesses. But some significant things I remember was my dad was forced to drop out of school and work his family grocery store. First, they peddled fruit and vegetables on the streets in Rhode Island, but then they opened a market, and my dad had to quit school to work the market. So he never finished high school. So when I was, I don't even know if I was one yet, he went back to school and got his GED, which I thought was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a cool thing. But yeah, I remember when I was little that he always had different cars. So I know he was buying and selling cars. Obviously, I know now. But back then, I do remember, you know, different cars coming in and out of the parking lot. We moved from Westminster to Capistrano Beach. I was in elementary school. I was really young still then. And funny thing, here's another funny. I have so many, like, funny side things. So my mom, my dad's first wife, Kim, Tammy Nicole's mom, she remarried. And guess who was her, the only person that stood up for her? My mom.
Oh, sweet.
So at the time, sweet. There was, there's always been a really good relationship. Our parents really put a lot of effort into making it as normal as possible. I mean, Cammy and Nicole could write a book. My dad definitely could write a book. My mom could write a book. Everybody could write a book. I'm not taking through all the things, but just to say that it's kind of a funny thing. So, you know, that's not very typical that the ex-wife is, or the new wife is in the ex-wife's wedding. You'll hear more of those kind of funny things as time goes on. But in Capistrano Beach, my sisters and their mom lived around the corner from us. So that was really cool for me because I remember, you know, Brandy was littler. So my parents had another daughter 2 years after me, Brandy. And so she was super little, but I used to walk back and forth. Tammy and Nicole would walk back and forth to our house, and I used to walk back and forth to theirs. Even at that age, back then, it was safe. And, well, we thought it was safe. Let's say that because something that did happen when I was walking, Cammy and I were walking. So Cammy's the older one by a year, and we were walking back to her house from our house, and I all of a sudden this young, well, he was older than me. Obviously, I was little, but he was like a teenager. He rode up on his bike with his pants down, jumped off his bike, grabbed my sister and threw her down and started kissing her. And I witnessed that, and I just remember, like, I just froze. I didn't know what to do. And then I ran, and I ran to her mom because we were close to her mom's house. And I ran to her mom and was crying and trying to tell her what happened. And she ran out, of course, and Cammy, the kid had rode off. But I remember she called the police, and it was, you know, we had to tell the police what happened. And so that was pretty traumatizing at a really young age to watch that happen. Fortunately, it didn't, you know, it wasn't worse than what it was. But the interesting thing is that it was I don't know how much later, but later at school, one of the girls, there's two stories about this girl. One of the girls I went to school with, I don't want to say she was a bully entirely, but you could tell she had a rough life. And in kindergarten, I believe I was in kindergarten at the time, or maybe first grade. But she had a rough life. You could just tell that in her aura. Well, it turns out that the boy was a twin. So I don't know which one did that to my sister, but that was kind of what they did back then. And they did that to this girl at school as well. So that was a good.
Did it affect Cammy in any way?
I've not talked to her about it as adults, actually. I know at the time it made us scared. We were scared to walk. And then, of course, our parents didn't want us walking by ourselves back and forth anymore. But it's a good question. I don't know. Cammy, if you ever listen to this, let me know. but also the girl that it happened to at school. Like I said, you knew she kind of had a little troubled life. One day I was out at recess and I'm standing alone. I see all the girls from my class talking. And this particular girl is kind of the leader. And all of a sudden they like walk over to me in a line and I'm standing there smiling. And the first girl looks at me, the leader girl, and she says, "Charity, do you want a knuckle sandwich?"
Aww.
And I didn't know what that was. And I'm like, okay. And she punched me in the stomach.
Aww.
And then every single girl behind her punched me in the stomach after that.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, not only did it physically hurt, but, I mean, especially, I don't think it matters what age you are, but especially at that young of an age, when you didn't do anything, I mean, to my knowledge, I didn't do anything wrong. I know I'm always trying to, like, be nice and happy with everybody. But that was very difficult for me as well, because I felt, you know, you could feel emotionally crushed that all your friends wanted to punch you in the stomach.
Oh,
and
so sad.
And you don't know why. You're just like, what did I do? You know? So I remember being in the office and calling my mom and crying. And my mom was always such a great, like, she always taught me compassion for others. So even in a time like that, that I felt attacked and I felt, you know, bullied. She would teach me that it wasn't, you know, if I knew I didn't do anything wrong, then it wasn't me, it was them, it was her. And that I need to pray for her and I need to care for her. And that obviously something's going on in her life that's making her treat me like that. So my mom just, you know, I feel like from that point on, she taught me to kill people with kindness. And it worked. I mean, I have to say, like, I even invited that girl to my birthday after that, which, you know, it's a tall order, but I trusted my mom and it paid off, because I really feel like, for the most part, that, you know, that's stuck with me. I can say as you get older, you get a little more calloused and get a little thicker skin with people, but I do use that as a rule of thumb, that I try to think about, like, why people would treat me wrong or bad if I didn't do anything to them. So I try to think about what they're possibly going through. The kids will tell you, like, even when we're driving in the car, it's hard, but somebody like cuts me off or does something wrong, I'm always like, well, maybe they're on their way to the hospital, or maybe, like, I always have a story behind it to, like, justify why people, I know there are just some
crazy drivers,
bad people. But I do think bad people, it all stems from something that they've gone through or gone through.
What a good life experience. What a good life experience.
Rhonda keeps forgetting you have to talk into the mic and not look at me. It was a good life experience. And it's funny that you say that, because typically people would say, "Guy, that's sad. What a bummer you had to go through that." But you saw what I got to learn from it. And so and that's what I try to look at things in life. Like, it's all trying to teach us something. Right. That was some of the biggest things, I think, that from my, like, elementary school until I moved out to Temecula, which was Christmas vacation of second grade. So I lived in Capistrano Beach for, I want to say, a year and a half. And then we moved to Irvine for that. I don't even know if it was a full school year. I don't have a lot of memories of Irvine. And then from Irvine, we moved to Temecula. But I just remember that there's a lot of things that I witnessed or saw or went through, even just the fact, our neighbors across the street, they went through a divorce, and then another neighbor, I don't know if he was a neighbor, but I know he was a chiropractor, and he committed suicide. Mm-hmm. Even though I wasn't an adult or even old enough to really have gone through it with our parents, you knew something was going on, like, in the house, and you knew things, you know, were difficult or challenging. And so, you know, but I got to see my parents be there for other people, and how they, you know, they're very, very, faith-based. So that really got them through a lot of things as well. But I have to tell you about a lady that my mom and dad knew from when my mom was modeling. Her name was Ruby. And she was an older woman. She was an older woman with a big personality. She was very loud. She didn't have a big personality as in like really friendly and outgoing. She was very like, hey, what are you guys doing? Kind of like loud, big personality.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it was with me, but she used to tell me she was going to flush my head down the toilet. So when she saw me, I would run because she would always like tell me she's going to flush my head down the toilet. Now, why did she pick that of all things to say? I don't know. But I can tell you that I had this like, I liked Ruby and I knew that my parents kept inviting her over so she couldn't be bad. But she did always tell me that. So I think it's just another thing that you like, you get to know people, even though you don't know that that's what you're doing, even when you're little, yeah. Right? You start to get to know people. I got to know that, you know, you don't have to take people seriously, mm-hmm. even though they seem scary and big and stuff. Like that was her way of being funny with me
or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, so when I look back at like when I was little, there's so many things that I witnessed that really molded and shaped like how I see life today. Fortunately, I didn't have anything really, you know, like gnarly happened to me personally, but I did witness a lot of things. And I'll just tell you, she never did actually flush my head down the toilet.
That's thank God.
I know. So, anyways, well, I don't know. Do you guys have any questions about any of that time? I mean, I think through like there's a lot of little stories, but I don't think anything else that's really significant to. There is actually one thing that's significant. Our neighbor across the street, Brandy was one and I was three. And then our neighbor across the street, Susie, she had Josh, who was three, and Chloe, who was one. And Chloe and Brandy are best friends to this day.
Aww.
And so you'll hear about Chloe later on in this journey. So that is a significant part of living out in Capistrano Beach and meeting that family. Yeah, my mom's still friends with Susie as well. And Chloe's daughter just got married, so Brandy was out at the wedding. Yeah, but Chloe has a very special place in my heart. And we get to that a little bit later in this journey, in the Bumbershoot podcast. Okay, yeah. Do you guys have any questions?
I don't have any questions.
No? No, we're not elaborating on any of that. So what was the most interesting thing you learned today about, besides the fact that we were born?
I would like to know how your mom met Ruby. I just think that's kind of even though she's teasing you, like some people have like weird ways of like teasing little kids and they do stick with you. Like mm-hmm. I can think of things too. And it's just like, first of all, where did these people come from? So how did your parents meet Ruby? Was she a neighbor or where is she from?
No, she was actually my mom in her modeling days. She ran for Miss California.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And Ruby, oddly enough, was in the pageant world. So,
oh my gosh.
I don't know.
She was probably not a good spokesperson. No, I'm just kidding.
She was behind the scenes, Ruby was. Yeah.
Okay. That's so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I don't remember exactly what her role was, but I do know that she was heavy in that. Like when my mom was running for Miss California and then she stayed friends. My mom wasn't running for Miss California after she had me, but they stayed friends with her.
Okay. And I did have another question about your mom.
By the way, she got first runner up in Miss California.
Your mom did?
Yes.
Candy.
Yes.
I'm not surprised. Is your mom from California originally? Because your parents, you started out on the East Coast. Was your mom on the East Coast or was she?
Yeah, that is a good question. So my mom was born Missouri. I always get these confused because her mom and dad's families were on either side of the border of Missouri and Iowa.
Okay.
So I think my Grammy was from Missouri. My grandpa was from Iowa. So real Midwest family there. But my mom moved with my Grammy and her siblings to California. My Grammy had my my mom, my aunt, my uncle, I think it was, she was 15, 16, and 17, I want to say, very, very young. And so they, and they were all like within maybe 4 full years of each other. But yeah, they had a rough upbringing. My mom, actually, that whole family was a miracle. God saved that family for sure. But you know, something else that's really cool is that they lived in, I don't know if it's Garden Grove, somewhere around there. And their neighbor was the Adams family. Well, the Adams family had Chuck, who's the oldest son. And then my mom's sister was Jane, or is Jane, I'll say. They live right next door to each other. So Chuck and Jane started dating. They were 15, and they're still married to this day. Aww. Yeah, so the Adams family is family to us.
That's cool.
Yeah, my mom and aunt and uncle have so many fun stories about sneaking in and out, having parties, covering for each other, all the things. But yeah. Yeah. And another thing about my infancy that could have also affected me is my aunt, when my mom brought me out from Rhode Island, my Aunt Jane, yeah, she worked at the Villa Sweden. And my mom brought me in. Apparently, my aunt never held babies. She didn't do babies. She didn't even know if she wanted kids at the time. She grabbed me and held me like a football and ran me through the restaurant to show all of
Oh my.
And my mom's like, Jay, what? Mom just bounced around in her arm. So we don't know what. I don't know if I'm resilient because of all of that stuff or if I'm a little cuckoo because of it. But that's funny. But she was it's very sweet. She was very excited. They got married the same year that I was born. So we always know how long they've been married. So I'm 51. They've been married 51 years. Yeah, it's cool. Like,
what is the order of your sisters at this point?
Well, I'll talk about, I grew up as a sisterhood of four of us. And I'm saying that for a reason. You'll find out more later. But Cammie is, well, she's October 10th. She just turned 57. Nicole turned 56 on October 22nd. And then I'm 51 and Brandy's 49. So we grew up very close. Yeah. I have to say we have a very special bond. It was hard. I mean, I do remember hearing Cammie one time. I said in the kitchen, "My dad," in front of Cammie, and I remember that did not go over well. It is our dad, not your dad. And I remember just feeling so bad that I like hurt her feeling so much and felt so bad. And like, even as adults, sometimes you say it, even to your full-blooded sibling, you know, but it was just different when you're young. And, you know, I totally understand her being like, excuse me, that's our dad.
Yeah.
But, you know, it isn't easy growing up in a split household. You have to share holidays and, you know, there's a lot of accommodations you have to make and it's never the kid's fault. But, you know, in the circumstances we had, I think we all feel like it was this case scenario and it really set me up for my future that I didn't know I was in for.
Yeah. So when you guys moved from Rhode Island, Cammie and Nicole's mom also moved to California. When you guys moved to California,
she was here when dad met mom. I think this is how the story goes. I got it right. That his friend was, I think his friend was going to take pictures of my mom, like a photo shoot at the beach, and he went with him. And that's how they met.
Okay.
So they met in California.
Okay.
And then when they got married, I don't know the details of that, but I think that they got married in Rhode Island and then had me there. They weren't there for very long. And the girls did go out. Those are their books to tell, but yeah.
They went out, but they lived here.
They visited. Yeah.
Okay. They lived here. They lived here. There. Okay. Rhode Island also.
Oh yeah. No, no. I'm the only,
East Coast baby.
Daughter that was born there. Yep. I am. I'm the only one. I'm proud of that. My papa used to always say, "You were born in God's country." And I always say, you know, he was, like I said, he was in utero, But he was the proudest Sicilian who never stepped foot in Sicily. He was like, you're not Italian, you're Sicilian. And I'm like, well, I am part Italian because grandma was born in, she was born in Vieste. So I am half Italian, Papa, but I am half Sicilian.
Yeah.
And then, you know, future Muna would have known. I would have
yeah.
almost given birth to full-blooded Italians. Yeah. Almost made a full circle there. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very proud of my Italian upbringing, but I, you know, later in life, you'll hear how I'm American Italian.
Yes.
That was clarified for me later in life. Oh, the stories we will tell. All right. Well, I don't know how we're doing. We're doing pretty good. We're at 30 minutes. So I think for our first one, we don't want to overwhelm everybody. Yeah. The first full episode.
But I really don't know these, so I was really like, wait a minute. Where was your born in Rhode Island? Your mom's new model here. Oh, I thought we were done.
Oh, no. Sorry. No, I didn't sign off yet.
Sorry, you're right.
That's okay.
I apologize. No, I just, yeah. It's good
clarification. Yeah, now you know. You're going to know more about me than you ever wanted to know, guys.
I actually have one more question. Because I don't know this about you. Since you did somersaults with no hands, did you ever participate in gymnastics? I'm curious about that.
Actually, I'm the most uncoordinated person you'll ever meet. So I think that was the clue when I didn't even know how to do a somersault properly. No, I never did. My sister did gymnastics, but I coached. But what are you thinking?
I was thinking that you were super amazing in gymnastics.
Oh yeah, no. Okay. Sorry to disappoint, but no, those somersaults with no hands, no, they kind of just stayed there. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't. I did coach gymnastics later, like when I was 18, and I do think it's a tendency of kids to, like, if they see a somersault, to not realize that you have to put your hands down to, like, start it. So I probably saw, like, my sister do a somersault or something. My older sisters, Nicole, did dance, ballet, and Cammy did horses. She did ice skating and then horses. But so I must have seen one of them do a somersault and thought I could do it without any hands. Yeah. Anything else, ladies?
No.
No? All right. Well, now you know me as a baby. You know my where it all started.
Yeah.
And next week, we're going to talk about when I moved to Temecula and what that was like. That's going to be a fun episode because it is a different, it was like moving to another land when I moved here. So that'll be fun. And Temecula is where I still call home. So that's very near and dear to my heart. But yeah, shout out to all of my family back east in Rhode Island. And some of them have moved to Florida now because they've retired and they moved to Florida. And they're okay. They made it through the hurricanes. Thank you, Jesus. But yeah, I go back to Rhode Island like once a year. Last year I brought Michelle and Gina and Allison and Pearl to show them my neck of the woods out there. It was very fun. The family just loved it. It was a great time. There's nothing like the energy out there. It's just so special. So yeah, shout out to back east and shout out to my Patriots. You don't have to hate on me anymore because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are retired and we're not winning all the time. So be nice. But I love my Pats, tried and true. Whether they're winning or losing, we're rooting for you.
Oh, look, I made a rhyme. Yeah.
Do you hear that, Pats? So next week, get ready for the move to Temecula. And so as I like to say, we had a great episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions, you can email me at charitybumbershoot@gmail.com.
That's a little like, what was it?
charitybumbershoot@gmail.com. If you have questions or if you know how to work the podcast platform and there's a way to message me on there, I haven't figured it out yet, but I bet you there is. Let us know. And like I like to always say, but that's not all. We will see you next week. Thank you, guys.